everyone, and welcome to episode 83 of season 11 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we curry our way through the 2001 HBO award-winning miniseries Band of Brothers, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Alex Robinson of the Star Wars Minute. Welcome back, Alex.
How you doing, everybody? Thanks for having me back.
You've been missing the last few days, but I'm glad you came back. Thank you.
MIA or AWOL.
There you go. Could be both or either, whichever way you want to look at it. But glad to have you back.
Thanks.
So episode 83 begins with Hubler in lots and lots of pain, and ends with Lip talking to the men. So we finished things yesterday with Hubler having gotten shot and in a lot of pain and bleeding. And, you know, this segment starts right away with the men doing their best to try to help him. You know, you have Lip even doing his best to stop the blood flow, you know, from causing too much damage.
Right.
He goes, now don't look, Hoob. It's going to be fine. Don't worry. It hurts like a son of a bitch. I think maybe I hit a bone. You go, Doc. Don't worry about it, Hoob. You'll be all right. Warm him up. Can you hear me, Hoob? Somebody keep him warm. And then, you know, Doc Rowe finally shows up and goes, Sergeant, let me see it. Huh? He goes, hang in there. Can we warm up some blankets or something for him? Because you're going to be fine. Okay, Hoob, listen to me, Hoob. It's okay. Did you think it was a German leg, Hoob? Because you're going to be fine. And then Muck says to him, hold on, Hoob. Hold on. Perconti, put this across him. Wrap him up. Hang in there, Hoob. Come on. And he goes, hey, Lip, you said I was a great shot, right? You're a great shot. Come on, Hoob. You jump out of the planes. You're a tough man. Come on. He's still shivering. It's not that bad at all. Come on, stay with us. Hoob, take it easy. And, I mean, one of the things that I like about the way that they're showing this, I mean, that, you know, here you have a series that has 10 episodes. You have a whole bunch of characters. And, you know, a lot of the characters don't make it through. But they find unique ways of showing each character's problems or...
Personal. Okay.
No, not just a personality, but I'm talking about the fact that you know, here you have a character who's been shot. You know, yes, he was shot in a very silly way because he shot himself somehow, which no one ever found out, you know, how it really happened, you know, how the gun went off. Mm-hmm. He claims he didn't touch the gun. You know, unfortunately, he's not around to tell us what really happened. I don't know if Lugers are supposedly that
sensitive hair trigger.
Exactly, they're that sensitive that it could go off. I don't know. One of the things that they show us here is first of all, you know, we get a very intense amount of time watching everything that Hubler's going through, with everyone around him trying to help.
Yeah.
But they know that they can't help. That's the problem.
Yeah. They're mostly just providing like moral support. They're like, come on, you're doing good. You know what I mean? They're like kind of goading him, like propping him up, you know, mentally, emotionally by, you know, come on. Like they're trying to be positive and things like that. Mm-hmm. I really, I guess this was one scene where I was really, the brothers part of the concept really, kind of hit home, because you know throughout the series you see these guys in very vulnerable moments where their nerves are frayed and their emotions are, you know, they're totally broken down, and you know they all help each other and all because they all know the whole situation they're in, so
right.
So I'm someone who generally you know keeps other people at arm's length, and I'm very reluctant to let you know other, to be vulnerable around other people and to participate in that. So it's very, I don't know, touching seeing the closeness of all these guys and stuff like that, you know,
Exactly,
that in real
especially.
life you wouldn't necessarily feel that way for a bunch of guys, you know.
That's right. Again, the whole idea here also is that these guys all know that they have to do whatever they can to help Hubler, but they also know that there isn't much that they can do. You know, besides
Right.
give him encouragement and I guess for lack of a better word, show him their love. You know, as he's going through this, trying to help him out, hoping that something can be done. I mean, again, they once again show how brutal basically war can be and battle can be. You know, they don't skimp on the fact that when Dr. O is putting on the tourniquet, once again taking a stick, as we talked about last week, trying to stop the flow of blood in that area. And the men around are doing what they can. I mean, you have Buck, patting him on the head, and we even get shots of Doc Rowe doing some ER type of stuff. You see him with the scissors, just pushing it right into the wound to try to find the bullet and get it out. And on the one hand they're all panicking, but on the other hand they're all calm. You know, they're or they're, I calm is not the right word. They're panicking, but they're also in control. You know, from the same perspective. You know, and then
Yeah, they're keeping their heads.
exactly. He goes, "How are we doing, Doc?" He goes, "Okay, you'll be fine." Because I can't see. We got to get him back to the aid station. Hold on tight. Right. Let's get ready to move him. Take it easy. Stay there, Hoob. I can't see anything. We're gonna need to. And then one of the guys goes, "Doc." And they see that Hubler just didn't wasn't able to make it. You know, the wound was just too devastating. They did too much damage with the whole thing. One of the guys goes, "Jesus." And then he goes, "Perko, we need a Jeep." And then we see that the shot the scene changes, and Lipton is now back at the CP to give his report of what's going on. Everyone's pretty much in shock about the fact that Hubler died this way. I guess in some ways you want to die in a heroic way, not in a stupid way, I guess you can say.
Oh, of course, yeah.
From that perspective. And I mean, Lipton basically has the gun. You know, he's the one who's holding onto the gun as the first sergeant. You know, and then so he's at the CP talking to Nixon and Winters, and he was wearing so much clothes we couldn't tell how bad he was bleeding. By the time we got him to the aid station, he was already dead. Yeah, the bullet cut the main artery in his leg, sir. Oh, hell, Lip. Yeah. Wouldn't have made a difference if you had known. Cut that main artery in the leg? That's it. Yes, sir. Well, I'm gonna go back and make sure the boys are all dug in, sir. Winters looks and goes, "Lip, where's Dyke?" He goes, "You want to see him, sir?" And this goes back to the whole idea that they all know that Lieutenant Dyke likes to disappear.
He's a they don't have a lot of respect for that
No,
guy.
not at all. And he goes, "Nope."
So the loot, sorry,
No. All
finish with your
right. Then he
summary.
says, "No, I just would have expected to get this kind of news from him." Well, I was there, sir. And then he leaves them. So, right, what were you going to say about the Luger?
Well, the Luger's that's a German gun that he had, in theory, like taken,
Yes,
right?
he shot a soldier on horseback and was able to get a Luger, and he
Right.
was
So it's kind of funny because in the last episode I was on, it was when the doc had found the nurse's blue
kerchief.
headscarf kerchief thing, and so the fact that he used that for a bandage, it kind of like continued what her role was. You know, she was a healer. And now, even though she's dead, she's continuing to be of service by letting, you know, you can use her clothing. Now, this is a sort of parallel that even though that German soldier was long dead, like Hubler still got shot by a German bullet, even though the owner of the bullet
Correct.
was, you know what I mean? It's the same thing as the scarf. It's an object being used to continue the owner's intention. So it's like a
Exactly. Now, Hoover's mentioned many
Constantly.
times in the book itself, but there's a paragraph that deals with him getting shot on page 161. Hubler was in a state of exhilaration after shooting a man on horseback. He moved from one position to another, hands in his pockets, battling the breeze with anyone who would talk. In his right-hand pocket, he had a Luger he had picked up on the battlefield. A shot rang out. He had accidentally fired the Luger. The bullet went through his right thigh, severing the main artery. In great pain, Hubler rolled about the ground, crying out for help. Private Holland, the first platoon medic, tried to bandage the wound. Two men carried Hubler back to the aid station, but he died shortly after arrival. But you see, that's it. You see, this is one of the things I've mentioned many times. I love how they take a paragraph like this and they give us, 2, 3 minutes of screen time showing this particular thing happening.
Seeing it
Yeah,
dramatized, yeah.
exactly. I mean, they have the time to be able to do this type of things. So it's great. That they flesh it out. But based on what I just read, it sounds as if the book says that Hubler did it himself, even though he claims that it just went off.
Yeah, and he only had the gun for a minute or two. He didn't even have it
That's
for a
right.
long time before
That's
it
right.
exacted its revenge.
Seriously.
So in that situation, do they tell Hubler's family, oh yeah, he accidentally shot himself in the leg with a German gun, or do they just say, oh, he died in
I don't
combat?
know. I mean, when they read the book, they found out what happened.
That's true, yeah.
Oops.
But at the time, I wonder.
What's interesting?
Yeah, that would really suck if you really thought your father was a hero in World War II, and then you see the movie and he's bleeding, slowly bleeding to death from shooting himself.
Yeah.
Oh, sad.
Let's see if it says anything about. I mean, one of the things it says here, sometime before D-Day, Hubler began craving a German Luger for a souvenir. One time he met a young British paratrooper who saw combat in North Africa and had a Luger that he let Hubler admire for a while. He remarked, "Boy, she sure is a doozy." During the Battle of the Bulge, he shot down a German officer while the German was escaping on horseback. It was from that German where Hubler finally obtained his Luger. However, the Luger would cost him his life. Since he was wearing so much clothing, the pressure made the gun go off in his pocket, and the bullet went into his leg, tearing the femoral artery. On January 3rd, 1945, he died from blood loss before his cohorts could get him to the aid station. And he was actually buried back in America.
Oh.
He was from Ohio, so they buried him in Ohio. Again, it's a great question that you ask as to, at the time, what did people know?
Or even now, how do they do it? Yeah.
You're saying nowadays, if something happens that's friendly fire, or how do
Either. I
they?
mean, accidents must still happen in the armed forces. So how do they report that to families or friendly fire or any of these things where you're not killed in a heroic manner? How do they report that to the families and
Right. My...
stuff? Oh, we have to report to you that an air conditioner fell on your son and he died. Do they get a full benefits?
My
Depends
assumption
upon
is
the
that you still
lesson.
get full benefits because you're still but if you go back when Tab was stabbed by Smith, in the middle of the night, by the bayonet, he didn't get a Purple Heart because he wasn't wounded by the enemy.
Right. Okay, so that's one thing at least.
So the question is at this point, how I don't know. Because again, he is in a combat zone, so it makes it seem as
Right.
if you would think that that he still would get some sort of I guess credit from the army for that.
Well, and I guess also it's how far down the chain of command does the, like, could Winters just say, I'm just going to say that he was shot by a German, and then from that up the chain of command, as far as everyone knows, he was killed by a
Well,
German, not
as
by
you pointed out
his
before,
own gun.
theoretically he was. He was killed by a dead German who still
Yeah.
had use of his Luger, from the other
Yeah,
side.
his ghost.
No, it's just it's very interesting how in the letter that he theoretically got.
Yeah.
When he was in the Battle of the Bulge, he was shot in the leg by his own weapon, which had gone off when it got snagged on some barbed wire. He died with the company medic at his side. The huge mistake in the miniseries, Band of Brothers, was that it portrayed Hubler being shot by his elusive Luger pistol in his leg while he had been playing with it. This is not true and should be considered a dramatization. Hubler was killed by his own weapon, not because he was playing with it, but because it had gotten snagged on a piece of barbed wire. Interesting.
Okay, so they took some dramatic
Yeah,
license.
apparently he didn't get killed by the Luger. He was shot by his own gun, which also
I can't decide if that's better
yeah,
or
I don't know.
worse.
And especially that it gets snagged on barbed wire.
Yeah, because that seems it wasn't even like he was being careless with it, like in the other, story, he was going
That's
around
right.
showing it to everybody, and so
But I think
anyway, guess you never
dramatizing
know.
it, it looks better, this way, even though it doesn't look good for Hubler either way. That's the thing. When you look at the real
Well,
Hubler.
and it's also more dramatic irony, the
Right.
fact that he wanted this gun so badly, and then he got one, and that was the thing that
That's
ended
right.
up killing him.
That's right. But again, there's no way of knowing what's the real truth and what's not. Just
I guess I'd rather have a ironic pointless death than just a pointless death. Like, oh, the irony of that, I really wanted this Luger and then I wound up getting shot by it, as opposed to my gun got snagged on barbed wire and I wound up accidentally shooting myself. That seems even like sadder than I got overeager about a gun.
okay,
So
I understand that. I understand that.
yeah, but everyone's different.
Well, let's hope that it's very far away from now anyway.
Yes, exactly. Don't plan on being barbed wire around barbed wire anytime
Yes.
soon.
Yes. Stay away from barbed wire.
Is trouble.
It apparently, it, especially in Belgium. So if you're ever visiting Belgium, make sure to stay away from barbed wire. That's a good thing.
So this isn't the voters
Yeah.
guide, okay.
Then Lip says, "I figured it might as well be me." Winters and Nixon then give each other a look, knowing that Lip is just saying this. He really didn't need to be the guy. It was Dyke who should have been the one to come to give the information, but they also know
Yeah.
who they're dealing with. And then Lipton leaves the room, leaves the tent. Actually, it's more than just a tent. It's a little bit of a structure.
But it still looks very
Yes, well,
cold.
there are no windows. They couldn't afford the glass. Then we get narration from Lipton saying, "Where's Dyke?" I probably heard that question 1,000 times. Probably asked it a few times myself. There were long stretches where we didn't know where Lieutenant Dyke was. He'd disappear, go off on these walks for hours at a time. Wouldn't have been so bad if he was just one of the guys in the company. But Lieutenant Dyke was supposed to be leading the company. Captain Winters was a CO we could all respect. Moose Heiliger probably would have done a good job, but before he got a chance to find out, he was accidentally shot by a sentry. Then came Norman Dyke. Then we get a shot of Dyke. He goes, "And I want tight security around the company CP. Lieutenant James, that understood?" And he goes, "Dyke wasn't a bad leader because he made bad decisions. He was a bad leader because he made no decisions." Then Dyke continues his brief, and he goes, "Now Battalion S3 is planning a move. So I will probably be called away regularly. Are there any questions?" And then Buck goes, "Yeah. What's the formation you want us to go for?" "At present, as per usual, but I'll clarify that with you at later time, Lieutenant Compton." "Yes, sir." "All right, I gotta make a call. Let's move it out." So it's very funny the way that they portray Dyke here. I mean, obviously the book talks a lot about how everyone hated the way that Dyke did things. He seems like an absent-minded boss, in an office that doesn't know anything about what he needs to do,
Yeah.
and just says things in a way that makes you believe that it can be interpreted either way. It can be interpreted that he knows what he's talking about, or it can be interpreted that this guy doesn't know anything.
Yeah, I feel to me it seems more like he just wants to get out of there as quickly as possible. As I guess if one of the guys says that, right? It's like he was not really a part of the company. He was just kind of like had to do a tour on the ground and he just wanted to get out of there as
Right.
quickly
But
as
again, the
possible.
question is where was he really going? You're in the middle of a battlefield. Where do you hide out in a battlefield? I mean, you can go into a foxhole, yes, but you're still someone can still find you if you're in your foxhole the way you should be.
Yeah, maybe he's he went back to the mess. I don't know. He built his own little special he maybe he found a little
He was a
bunker shelter
camouflage
or something.
expert. Nobody knew.
Oh yeah, there you go. That's why he just disappeared into the woods.
He could turn
This
in
is
something to
a I guess
snow.
th this reminded me kind of this is like a the officer that the group doesn't respect is another these seems like kind of like trope of these kind of I mean I guess the very first I always remember the David Schwimmer scenes at the beginning, and that's kind of what it reminds me of like another superior officer who they don't really have any
Okay,
respect for.
I agree with that, but on the other hand, when you're dealing with someone like Sobel, Sobel was
Yeah.
happened to be a very good commander. He just wasn't a leader. Dyke is neither.
Right.
Winters is
Yeah,
both.
that's
Sobel
true.
is just a commander, a good commander. I mean, Sobel was the one who got them into amazing physical shape.
Yeah.
Put everyone else to shame by all the things that he did. Yes, the men were not happy with the way that Sobel did things. That goes without saying. But they mentioned in the book, and I've heard this also from people that I've discussed this with, that if it wasn't for Sobel, they wouldn't have formed such a close bond, because their
Right.
quote unquote hatred
Yeah.
of the way that he was doing things helped them form an even stronger bond.
Right. Yeah. The hatred of
Right.
the drill sergeant
Exactly.
unites the team.
Exactly.
But in this case, you're saying now that they're actually in combat, the hating your the group hating the commanding officer is not a good team building exercise.
Well, let's put it this way.
The
Well, put
way
it
it
this
is when
way.
you're
They
training.
they've already done that team building exercise. These guys are tight enough as
Yes.
is. They don't need Dyke to do it, but it's not hurting the
Yeah.
situation that they're all hating Dyke because Dyke is never around. But on the other
Yeah.
hand, you don't want a commander who's that indecisive around you, which we will see in
Yeah,
later
because
in later episodes that we're going to talk about, how ineffective Dyke is by the fact that he doesn't make decisions.
yeah.
So and at this point, Lipton continues with his narration, and we hear him say, "Dyke was the favorite of somebody at division. He'd been sent down to E Company to get some combat experience. Sometimes we get a feeling E Company was an annoyance to him, something unpleasant he had to get through before he can continue his march up the ladder." Then,
Yeah, he's strictly a
yeah,
desk man.
for sure. He doesn't need to be there, but again, these things happen back then, and they happen today, and they happen hundreds of years ago. There will always be people that will get jobs that they shouldn't be getting, because somebody
Yeah.
wants to help them advance in a certain way. The men of Easy were worse off for it, I guess you could say. Because it would have been better if they had a better commander with them. But they still did have all their
Yeah.
NCOs, and they did have Winters, who was always looking out for them, which is not something that
Right.
most
Yeah.
that everyone always gets, from that perspective.
Yeah.
And then we're back with the foxhole that we were talking about last week. And we have Garnier and Malarkey in the foxhole, and goes, "I'm telling you, boys, we're screwed. If you ask me, I'm glad Lieutenant Dyke's never around. Hey, you know what? We're doing all right, even with Foxhole Norman. Yeah, Don, we're doing all right. We're doing all right now. In case you ain't noticed, there's a little town down the hill over there. In that town are these guys called Germans, and these Germans got tanks. I know. Yeah. And on our side, it's gonna want to go into that town. want to take one guess who they're going to want to go knocking on the goddamn doors? I know, Bill. It's me you're talking to here. Jesus Christ. We've got to do this all with a CO who's got his head so far up his f***ing ass that lump in his throat is his goddamn nose. So, hey, Garnier, it's very funny. I've talked to people who knew the real Bill Garnier, and they say that he is so toned down in this show. It's unbelievable.
Toned down?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
He must have been quite a character.
Yes. Yes. And at this point, Lipton shows up and goes, "Hey, First Sergeant." He goes, "Hey, boys. Hey, Sarge. Hey, Lip. Hey, Muck. What's the word?" "Oh, you know, sitting around, freezing our asses off." So it also shows the difference in the camaraderie and connection between the NCOs and the men.
Yeah.
You know, there isn't as much distance between them, and they are close to one another that they can have they can say these type of things.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Like, have you ever seen Full Metal Jacket?
I have seen Full
Metal. I don't think that someone would be able to say a line like that to the drill sergeant. Yeah. You don't think it would have worked.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I can only imagine what Arlie Ermey would have responded if someone said to him, just sitting around freezing our asses off. He, that character is very, very, he's become very iconic, I guess you could say, when it comes to looking at drill sergeant.
He's the drill sergeant character of the last 50 years.
Yes. I think you can even go further than that. He's probably the drill sergeant character of cinematic history.
Of all time? Yeah, it's true. Maybe Lou Gossett as a second one.
He's the second one. That's true. Of course. Again, I don't know if you ever noticed, they use some of the same language. You know,
I didn't notice that.
They both use the joke. Are you from Texas? Or one guy says from Texas. One guy says from, I think, Oklahoma. And he says, "Oh, the only thing that comes from there are steers and queers." You know, but they both use the exact same phrase for different characters. So it's just very funny.
That's funny.
Yeah, maybe because it's a real, it's not a trope. It's something that they really did use, because
it must be in the handbook, the drill sergeant's like handbook of phrases to use. You know,
it's very possible. You never know. Well, when someone does, either an officer and a gentleman or a Full Metal Jacket, minute by minute, we'll be able to find that out.
Okay, good. Can't wait.
That's right. they're going through this conversation, this 5-minute segment ends. So, Alex, did you have anything else you wanted to add about this particular segment?
No respect for the officers. Yeah, no, everything. I got all my points made.
Well, it's not that they have no respect for the officers. They have no respect for. A lot of respect for Winter.
Yeah, yeah. No, I guess I meant more like the higher up. It's kind of like on Star Trek. Anytime an admiral shows up on Star Trek, it's bad news because they're gonna be overruling our captain. You know, the people that we love.
Well, of course,
the show.
They so have to.
That's it's a similar.
They have to.
Yeah, right. But you know, but all the admirals in Star Trek are jerks. So that's the weird, it's the weird thing, because the only time you see them is when they're telling, you know, Picard, you must do what we say.
Well, maybe,
you know,
maybe that's the reason that Picard never really wanted to be an admiral and then, you know, eventually became one. And also Kirk didn't want to become an admiral either. And, you know, he was quite happy at the end of, at the end of Star Trek 4, the voyage home to be demoted.
Deck down to captain, yeah.
We're gonna demote you to captain. Something that you love doing. Okay, that's a great punishment. All right. So today's segment is called "Oh Brother," where my guests will give their top five movie brothers. So I know one of the things that's
movie
gonna be.
Brothers.
I know one of them is gonna be on your list. I can guarantee that.
Which one? Okay, we'll save it to the end, so in case I don't get it. So, Well,
Now start
number
with number five.
one, I
Start with
had the
number
movie I
five. Start with number five.
Oh yeah, that's sorry. Yeah, number five is that's what I meant. The first one, number five, is The Outsiders,
Ooh. Funny
which
boy.
is a yes. I only saw that for the
Darren
first time
Soderbaugh.
last year.
Seriously? Wow.
Despite being a child of
I
the
was going to
80s,
say
I did
that.
not see it
I'm
until
very,
last
very
year.
shocked to hear that. Wow.
Well, I think when I was in school, it was considered more of a girls' movie because it's all like, teenage hunks in it and stuff. I feel like that was the case when I was younger. I mean, when it came out.
Interesting. Okay.
But anyway, I saw it, and it's in a lot of future stars in that movie,
Yes.
or a lot of future. Yeah, a lot of future stars who would have short careers. Let's put it that
Well,
way. Anyway,
not
that's
all,
number one, Brother.
Patrick Swayze does not have a short
Yeah.
career.
No, not all of them had short careers. But Rob Lowe, other people did have long careers. But
Exactly.
anyway, the next one
I love The
is.
Outsiders, and I think it's a great choice here,
Yes.
especially because, the way that the brothers are set.
Yes. And number four on the list is On the Waterfront, the Terry and I forget what his brother's name, Marlon Brando and his brother. Marlon Brando is a young boxer and he has that great speech. I could have been a contender, I could have been someone, and that whole
That's
thing.
right.
So yes. Marlon Brando, it's a lot of these actors talk about how great he is, and he is a good actor, but I think also mostly like you can tell like before him, all the actors spoke in that sort of movie style of exposition of like you're speaking loud enough so that you can be heard on the microphone and you're enunciating, and then Marlon Brando kind of
Mumbled his way.
made everyone talk more realistically, meaning they mumble and so on. Number three is not a specific movie because they were brothers in a few different movies, but I'm gonna say Chico and Harpo Marx. Who were they're obviously all the Marx brothers were brothers in real life, but as far as I know, Groucho never played a brother of the other two in he played a father to one of his brothers, but he never played a brother to one of his brothers in the movies. But Chico and
Really?
Harpo
For
were
some reason, I think
brothers
he
in a
did.
few of them.
Okay.
Oh, maybe some of the later ones I don't know as well, but all the classic ones, usually Groucho was set up as the opposite force to them, where they were like he was either running the college, or he was the president of the country, or something like that. Where anyway, number two on the list is A Simple Plan, which is I love movies about where things go wrong, and this is a great movie where it's a simple plan, and immediately things start going wrong. I won't spoil anything, but. It's a fun thriller of a movie. And number one, I gotta go with the brothers Corleone from The Godfather.
I'm so
Specifically,
shocked
Fredo and
that
Mikey, I say.
that you would use them. So
Well.
shocked.
Yes. Specifically, Fredo and Mikey, I picked as the brothers of interest since their dynamic is so great in Godfather 2. So there you go, brothers.
Okay, I actually thought you were going to go with Anakin and Owen Lars, as some of the yeah.
Wow. Well, it's funny. They weren't on the list of movies about brothers, so maybe I didn't think of them. They were like stepbrothers, I guess. So,
They're still brothers. I mean,
Yeah,
you could
that's
have even
true.
tried and stretch and go with Luke and Leia because they are brother and sister, but still,
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't know you were allowing brother and sister
I in
siblings.
generally not.
Okay. Honorable mention, I would say Royal Tenenbaums because that's two brothers and a sister, and that's one of my
Okay.
favorite movies.
So we should be expecting a Movies by Minute podcast from you while you're waiting for Star Wars to reset itself.
Sure, I'll do it. I'm on board. That never even occurred to me.
You go.
All right, I'll
There you
do
go.
it. Talk
How
me into
far
it.
are you into The Godfather at this point?
We have finished Godfather 1 and Godfather 2. And we're debating whether to go continue with Godfather
Right.
three
Okay.
or
I had
not.
remembered that you hadn't gone
So,
into three yet, so like I was.
yeah, we're still hemming and hawing about that one. But stay tuned,
All right.
folks. Hint,
Very
hint.
good. I don't like three as much as the others, but it, three does have some good parts in it, but overall.
Yeah, it's much maligned, and it doesn't help that it's coming on two of the greatest, films made to have the third one. It's okay, but it just pales in comparison to the first two.
Exactly. All right. So now we will once again play the daily game of Name That World War II Movie. And
Oh man.
hopefully,
Love watching me suffer,
what?
don't you?
Alex, you're two for two on this one. You can't complain about that.
Okay, good, good.
Okay. You are
Good,
two for
okay.
two here. All
Okay.
right. Let's spin the wheel and see what you get. You see, you got Sands of Iwo Jima and the Zone of Interest. So.
Yeah. Partial credit for Billy Wilder.
There you go. No, but that's it. Billy Wilder is effective. Okay. So this is a movie from 2017, and it's
Okay.
basically a biopic of Winston Churchill as he's dealing with the aftermath of Dunkirk, and
Gary
with
Gold,
Gary Oldman. That's
Gary
right,
Oldman
Gary
playing
Oldman
it,
playing.
right? Oh boy.
You see, you're already part
I
of the way
remember
there.
that. Yeah, I remember the movie coming out, but it had one of those titles that was like so like The Shadow of War
No, it's
or
something
like
that comes
something
from the
like that, like
speech.
the okay. Iron Curtain, the
No,
movie.
Iron Curtain.
No, it's
That was
before
before
Iron
the Iron
Curtain.
Curtain.
Yeah. I'm not gonna get it. I give up. I quit. I give
No,
up.
you just give up too easily.
I do. I surrender. If you want to give me a hint, I'll take our finest
You're very
hour.
close. You're very close. You got the hour part.
The okay.
Darkest
Darkest
hour.
hour?
Very good. You see? I didn't even need to
Okay.
give you a real hint on that one. So there you go.
You were
You
right. You
see,
were right.
Alex,
I should have
you
taken
should
more
be very
guesses.
proud of yourself that you got all three. You got three out of three.
Okay, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was
I'm on a roll.
that's correct. You're on a roll, but hey, you're gonna have to wait until next season to continue with that role.
Oh, all right. Now maybe I'll do some
Unless,
studying before then. I'll watch as many.
well, again, I don't know what I'm doing next season, so it will
Oh yeah,
not
that's
be a World
right.
War II movie, so you don't have to worry about that. It's not.
Okay. Okay, I'll watch everything
There
except
you go.
World War II
There you go. I
movies.
can
Got it.
guarantee it will not be. I can't even guarantee. As of now, it will not be a World War II movie.
Probably not gonna be.
I've already done three
Yes.
World War II movies. I think I need to mix it up a little bit more. So
Yeah.
I'll see. I'll see. I have
You're a bold one.
few weeks to. I mean, today was episode 83, and I got 136 episodes, so I still got another 50 episodes, another
50
10
episodes.
weeks.
Yeah.
Wait,
Oh
is it 10
boy.
weeks? 20 weeks. Wait, 50 episodes, 5 weeks. No, it's 10 weeks. By mid-July, I'll already have to have been far into pre-production on season 12. We'll see what that's
All
like.
right. Now I
I will
know.
definitely do so for sure. All right. So, Alex, is there anything else you want to say about Band of Brothers before we say goodbye to it?
No, but this is making me want to rewatch the whole series. So that's one positive
I am
outcome of
so
this
happy to hear
podcast.
that. And while you're doing that, you go watch Die Hard. Never,
Never.
I know.
Never.
Somebody needs to like sneak it in, in the middle, and be like, "Oh, this, I didn't realize this was Die Hard."
Yeah, you put a fake title at the beginning. You'll be like, wow, that movie was awesome. That was really Die Hard.
Exactly. I have a feeling that no one will be able to pull that wool over your eyes. So you'll be like John
Okay.
McClane. Wait a second, I've heard that name before. I don't think
We'll use AI to put a fake mustache on
that's
him so he'll
right. I don't
recognize
think he was in Band of Brothers. No.
it.
All right, so Alex, would you like to tell everyone where they can find Alex Robinson?
Well, you can go to my website, alexrobinson.fun. There you'll find links to Star Wars Minute, to my personal merch store where you can buy some things, t-shirts or artwork from me, and all that sort of stuff. And comic books. I used to make comic books, if you can believe it. Go to alexrobinson.fun for all the latest
All
information.
right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on my website, movieroundminute.com. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram. If you want to send me an email, you can send it to movieroundminute@movieround.net. So I will be back tomorrow with another guest. But until then, Curry!
You're here!